unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus.
So look up, my child. Dry your eyes and smile.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to a live broadcast coming to you today on the Wednesday, the 19th of February, of the Looking Up Show. My name is Sharissa, and I'm joined in studio by my co-host, Danny. How are you?
I'm praising the Lord, my friend, and yes, very happy to be back in the land of Oz.
Amen. You've been away. Where have you been?
I've been to India.
As you do.
As you do.
And what took you to India?
Well, my sister was invited there by a former work colleague that she helped come into Australia. She hired him when she was working for a corporate down there in Melbourne. And anyway, so he invited her to his daughter's wedding. He's Indian. And he wanted to have an Indian wedding. And so my sister didn't want to go alone. Her partner wasn't able to join her. And so she invited me to come along, all expenses paid. So I'm like, well, I've always wanted to go to India. I'd love to go preach the gospel there one day. Hopefully that opportunity will arise. I told the Lord the next time I'm coming to India will be to preach the gospel, not on a holiday. But anyway, so I was there for a three-day wedding.
Wow.
And that was pretty full on, my first Indian three-day wedding. We have Macedonian three-day weddings that I've been to. Yeah, so
that's a long time.
It's a long time. Well, look.
One-day wedding was a lot of organizing, let alone three.
Well, look, if you're going to be married, like, for the rest of your life, you might as well
celebrate
it over a few days.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I'm not sure if that'll help marriages stay connected if they're married over a longer period of time. I'm not sure. We could try it out in Australia.
You should try.
So that was that. And then I spent a bit of time doing a bit of touring down in the south of India and experiencing the sights and the sounds and the smells and the chaos, the exciting organized chaos of India.
I'm sure you have some news updates for us.
Oh, yes, I do. And we've got some Indian listeners.
Oh, do we really? Yeah,
we've got Indian listeners.
Were they already listening?
Okay. No, they weren't. They had no idea about. Can you believe they were not aware of Faith FM and certainly the Looking Up Show. It was like news to them.
Them and billions of other people.
Anyway, so I've got a big shout out. I told them I'd give them a big shout out to my new Indian friends. And really, like, they were so hospitable.
Well, let's hear who they are.
They'll literally give the shirt off their back to you. They're just incredible individuals. So I want to praise the Lord for them. So, Prabhu, if you're listening, he was the guy that organized our itinerary. Just incredible. And we had financial issues. Check this out. Like, this just does not happen in Australia, let alone in another country. We are perfect strangers. We're totally perfect strangers to this guy. And we had issues. We brought over credit cards and stuff. My wife did tell me, you know, swap cash into Indian cash, Australian cash into. I'm like, oh, I'll do it when I get there.
You
should have
listened to
her.
Moral of the story.
Listen to your wife. So anyway, we get there and our credit cards don't work. And so this guy, Prabhu, who organized our itinerary and transport and everything, he gives us his personal bank card.
Wow.
Can you believe it? And he kept putting money on it and, we were going to transfer the money back into his account from Australia. But, I mean, this is how kind he was.
So hospitable.
Him, absolutely, and his wife, Akila, she helped my sister pick three Indian dresses for the wedding. So that was pretty cool. So if they're listening, big hi to you. And Ranjit, our driver. I'm telling you, to drive in India is something. I've been to Africa 7 times, but African driving is nothing compared to Indian driving. And we, like, got the best of the Indian driving.
Really?
The only rule that they followed was stopping at red lights. That was the only rule. Otherwise, no other rules are followed on the road.
Wow.
They're just beeping. They don't use their blinkers. They just use their horns.
Wow.
And there's no road rage.
Yeah, that's amazing too, hectic, isn't it?
Anyway, Ranjit, if you're listening, big shout out to you. He was just a great guy. Vicky, who was in one of the hotels, had a great chat with him. This young guy, Logesh, 28-year-old, I told him I would promote him as India's most eligible bachelor. So I'm lovely guy. We had a great time. He wants to be a Collywood star. Have you heard of Collywood?
No.
You've heard of Bollywood?
I heard of Bollywood.
Yeah, Collywood is like another form of Bollywood in the southern part of India.
Okay.
So there you go. So big shout out to him. And yeah, so lots of others that
we
that
got
I bumped
three
to.
Listeners.
There we go. Three, four listeners.
Three, so. Yeah, from India. That's great.
Absolutely. So anyway, what have you been doing?
So, well, Rochelle has been holding the fort for
she
us.
She has and done a great job.
While we've been away. And yes, we hope that you're happy, Rochelle.
I did. We actually had a repeat for the first week. Yeah. And then the second week I jumped in and I braved it and we had Joy Butler last week and a lot of fun. Made sure I dropped your guys' names plenty of times. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, good. Right. Praise the Lord.
And if you missed it, which I did, I'm looking forward to hearing it. How can you hear
I'm
the program from last week?
So people can listen to any program that happens on this station that by simply going to the website, faithfm.com.au, or downloading the app, and you go there and you click on podcasts and I believe or all the programs, and you can find all the previous episodes uploaded as podcasts. So yeah, plenty of great material there, including last week's episode, which Rochelle conducted. Thank you, Rochelle. Well, we're going to listen to TVAC Choir. Bring to us Great is Thy Faithfulness, and we'll continue after that.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest.
Lord, unto me.
me.
Beautiful, beautiful hymn, that one. Great is thy faithfulness. It's a hymn that's also a prayer, and that was the TVAC choir, Tweed Valley Adventist College, bringing to us that timeless hymn. Well, you're listening to The Looking Up Show, and today, as part of our broadcast, we always like to have a giveaway for those of you who are listening to us and participating, and today's giveaway is a very good-looking book. I'm looking at it here on my screen. Ancient Prophecies Reveal the Future. The title of the book is The Light at the End, and it's authored by a man named Steve Wahlberg, who's a speaker and writer, very good presenter as well on Bible prophecy. So if you've never read this book, and if you're interested in what the ancient prophecies of Scripture reveal about the future, this is a book that you will definitely want to get your hands on. There is hope at the end, the light at the end. So be listening to the broadcast. We will give you the code word for today's show just a little bit later. And today, how many people can be winners? According to my screen, there are many copies available, which means you can all be winners. All you have to do is just text in the code word when we give it, and this book will come as a gift from us to you. But Pastor Danny, we were just hearing your updates from India, and I guess at this time we go to current events, but I'm sure you've got current events that you saw and were aware of while you were in India.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's interesting because while I was there, the Prime Minister of India happened to be visiting our mate Donald Trump.
And yes.
So that was making news headlines right. In India. So you can't keep Donald Trump out of the action. He's everywhere.
That's right.
Like he's like a tsunami. He's just like covering the planet.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was interesting. I was chatting to the folk there in India, and I spoke to, and I asked my driver. I said, "So what do the Indians think of Donald Trump?" This was funny. This is what he said to me. He said, they believe or they see Donald Trump as a comedy person. How were his words? As a comedy person.
You know, I can sort of see that life is not very boring, is it?
No,
right
it's
now?
It's not.
It keeps it very interesting.
He does. And so we're going to be taking a look at, you know, the news headlines as they connect with Bible prophecy once again. And there's been so much going on in the last 2 weeks.
Mm.
But, you know, going back to India briefly before we move on from there, apart from, you know, the food, which is incredible, people who are very hospitable and loving and kind, and the crazy traffic, beautiful scenery that we experienced, the one thing that really stood out for me was the spiritual hunger that these Indian people have, the spiritual hunger that they have. I had the privilege of going to a Seventh-day Adventist church on one of the Sabbaths that I was there, and to worship with the folk there. And although, you know, I didn't understand too much of a lot of what went on, I was able to, you know, just be there and listen and, you know, just enjoy being part of this gathering. And as I took a look at, you know, Indian culture and Indians, they, as I pointed out, are deeply spiritual. They go on pilgrimages, you know, spiritual pilgrimages. Mm-hmm. I went on a hike, a trek they call it. I went on a hike where a number of, you know, hundreds of Indians were going on a pilgrimage. It was a 26-kilometer hike, like up and back, as in 13 Ks each way. It was the most intense hike, and they do it barefoot.
Mm.
Barefoot.
Wow.
I barely did it with my, you know, with my runners on, let alone barefoot. But they're deeply spiritual people. And I was praying as I was walking, you know, just conversing with these individuals. People just want to chat to you. You know, we were the only, you know, white people there on that track. Everybody else was an Indian. So as I was, you know, talking and connecting with people and just walking up and down, I was really praying. I was really, really praying that they would get to know, you know, the God of heaven, that they would get to know Christ, because they're searching, they're seeking. And so, yeah, I said to the Lord, you know, the next time I come to India, I want to come and preach the gospel here. That'll be the next time the Indians see me. So I'm hoping and praying that day opens up. And I believe that it will, because Jesus said the gospel will go to the whole world as Amen. A witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Yes.
And so there are millions, literally. I mean, it's the most populous country on the planet right now. It's taken over China.
Mm-hmm.
So there's about 1.45 billion people in India. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely everywhere. And so the majority of them have not heard the everlasting gospel, the vast majority of them. And so that really stood out for me, and my heart was just really, you know, just crying out for the Lord to open doors for the gospel. And I believe that he will, and I'm looking forward to the day when hopefully I'll have an opportunity to go there and preach the gospel, because they are the most delightful people on the planet. They really are.
Really.
So hospitable, so loving, so kind. You know, they'll just give you whatever they have. Mm. Just incredible. Just beautiful people. Anyway, the ones that I bumped into.
That's really wonderful to hear. And, you know, you speak of the people over there who are hungry for, you know, the gospel and haven't had, you know, experienced it. And they're just everywhere, aren't they? Like people like that are in our streets. They're in our workplaces. They're in our families. They're in our communities also. There's so many people who need the Lord, and God is calling all of us to be like, as your burden is to share with anyone, like he's calling all of us to have a burden to share and tell others to look up, to be ready for Jesus to come. That's really exciting.
Amen, amen. So while I was there, I took a number of books, you know, the Mark Finley Hope for Troubled Times book.
Yes, yes.
That sharing book of the year from a couple of years ago, and I gave that out to everyone, including, a couple on the plane from England on the way back. So I managed to give out my last book to this couple. And, you know, it's just incredible how hungry and how thirsty they are, you know. Talk about Bible prophecy. I was able to share with them just briefly, you know, how the God of Scripture has foretold the future and where things are going, and, you know, that we can trust in him, we can trust the Bible. They had no idea about these things. You know, their eyes would light up and, you know, so... I'm looking forward to the day. Like when communism fell in the old Soviet Union, you know, when the wall came down and the late 80s and early 90s, when the evangelists went into you know, Russia and some of these former Soviet countries, people received Bibles for the first time. Individuals like John Carter, Pastor John Carter and others went in there. Mark Finley was another one. And, you know, just the hunger, people weeping when they heard the truth, received the truth, received the scriptures, you know, and I believe that's going to happen again. Not just India, but many countries around the world where the doors have been closed for the active preaching of the gospel.
Well, that's right. And, you know, speaking of this show, Bible, you know, looking at what the Bible says about the future and, you know, the coming of Jesus, Revelation 18:1, describing that global revival where the whole earth is lit up with the glory of God, which is the gospel of, you know, Jesus.
It's a character, it's a character of God being revealed.
Yes, and, you know, that's an exciting time, and I'm excited too because I'm organizing a prayer conference right now, and I'm seeing there's a lot of people that are really hungry for a closer walk with God, really hungry to connect with him. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving on the hearts of people everywhere, drawing us to have a closer walk with him, to connect with God so that we can reach the world with this beautiful message of Jesus, because he's coming so soon. I believe it's a sign of the times as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, that's exciting, the prayer conference.
It is. You'll be there.
I'll be there. I can't wait. And there's like over 700 people that have registered already.
There is.
Praise the Lord. Is this kind of like a record thus far?
It is a record.
Wow. Yeah. Every year the numbers have been growing.
It is. And again, I see that as a sign of the times. You
absolutely.
Know, people, God's people being revived for that last great sunrise, I guess, where the sun of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And yeah. The earth will be lit up. So that's exciting to see it happening here.
And you know what? We need to have a look at a scripture. Maybe you can have a prayer, Charisse, and then, I've just thought of a scripture in connection with that before we go any further. Sure. So why don't you pray and then we'll open
up. Father in heaven, thank you for this show. Thank you for all of our listeners. Thank you for this technology. Bless us as we study your word, as we discuss the things that we see. Lord, point us to you. Point us to your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I want to reflect on a scripture that really encouraged me as I was thinking of these precious Indian folk, you know, who are not aware of the gospel. And it's in Isaiah chapter 60. And you would know this passage very well. And it goes along with Revelation 18:1, you know, where the whole earth is illuminated with the glory, with the character of God. And, you know, we know that glory ultimately primarily is the character of God, because when Moses asked to see the glory of God, God revealed to him his character, his mercy, his grace, his kindness, his long-suffering. And Isaiah chapter 60, if you would like to read verses 1 to 3, this is just so powerful.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
And then verse 3.
The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
Wow. So what a beautiful prophecy.
Yeah.
A beautiful prophecy. You know, arise and shine. Arise and shine, because, you know, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You know, and this darkness, this gross darkness that covers the earth will be illuminated by the glory, by the grace of God.
Amen.
And there are so many scriptures, you know, very similar to this. And when Jesus came, and you read about his mission statement that he shared from the book of Isaiah, maybe we can be reminded of that, because that goes along with what we've just read here in Isaiah chapter 60. So if you want to take a look at Luke chapter 4.
Ah, yes.
Luke chapter 4. And if you'd like to read from... pick it up maybe from verse 17, where Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah in church. He's in church on the Sabbath, and he's been given the opportunity to read from this scroll, and he opens up to this passage.
And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord."
Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
Isn't that powerful? And Jesus is reading from Isaiah chapter 61, the very next chapter. We read from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. So this is all in that context, because obviously there's no chapters or verses in the original when Isaiah, you know, wrote his book. And here in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, Jesus is literally quoting those words.
Mm.
And so the gospel, you know, the gospel needs to be preached.
Mm-hmm.
To the poor, you know, and Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are humble." And if you want to talk about humble people, the third world is filled with people of humility.
Yeah.
You know, they're so humble. They're just so meek.
They're so open.
They're so open. They're so open to have you pray for them, you know, to say, "Lord, you know, I'm going to pray that God will bless you and your family." You know, they even ask for it, you know. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. And I believe this is the biggest sign of the times. So whilst there's gross darkness, while Satan is gathering his forces for the final showdown, God is gathering his people.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit's being poured out as Satan is pouring out his spirit, his counterfeit spirit. God is pouring out his Holy Spirit. And what you shared, Charissa, I think is so important. We cannot bypass that, and that I've come to the conclusion that prayer is the key, the absolute key, because this is a God thing.
Yeah.
This is God who will open the eyes and the hearts, not you or I by our whatever, our intelligence, our education, our information, but it's God's Holy Spirit that will open doors.
I believe so too, and I second what you just said there, because really, if our relationship with God is real, then prayer is going to be the key, you know, like prayer means we're talking to God. Prayer means there's a relationship with God. And, you know, talking about these things, how the earth's going to be lit up with the glory of God, that's going to be through a people who love to talk with Jesus, you know, who love to spend time with Jesus. And that's a prayerful people at the end of time. So it's very exciting. Just one other text to back what we're saying. Malachi 4 verse 2, I referenced it before, but to you who fear my name, God says, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. But yeah, like God is going to bring healing to us. Do we need healing? Absolutely. Not just from physical sickness, but God wants to transform us of our characters on the inside to be more like Jesus as well.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, well, we haven't even got to the news, but we're talking about the best news.
The best news.
The gospel.
Amen.
All right. Guy Penrod bringing to us, He Hideth My Soul, a beautiful hymn. Guy Penrod bringing to us that, and then we'll continue.
Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand, and covers me there with His hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden. Shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Of the sky, His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Sil. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 88 0856.
Looking unto Jesus.
That's right, folks. We are on the Looking Up program right now. Looking Up, it's live, coming to you on the 19th of February already. We're in the second month. And we should remind you about the giveaway today, The Light at the End of, well, just that's the title, The Light at the End by Steve Wahlberg.
You're going to say The Light at the End of the Tunnel.
I was going to say tunnel, but then there was no tunnel. So The Light at the End, book by Steve Wahlberg. Looks fantastic here on my screen. Ancient prophecies reveal the future. If you're interested in getting a copy, everyone can have one today. You just have to listen for the code word and we'll give it out to you maybe in the next segment, so stay with us. We have just been reflecting on the good news of the gospel, but there is a lot of other news that's happening that may not be so good, but it points us to the greatest news of all, which is that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming again.
Amen.
That's the resounding theme of Scripture, really.
That is the resounding theme. That's that light at the end of the tunnel.
There's that. That's the tunnel, yeah.
You know, we talked about the doomsday clock that was updated, you know, in January, about a month or so ago.
Yes.
And they updated it to 89 seconds to midnight. You know, they're using the metaphor of midnight. But whereas Jesus told us in Matthew 25:6 that midnight metaphor, Jesus came up with that first, is the deliverance of his people when the bridegroom comes.
Yes.
And at midnight.
Yes.
You know, at midnight there was a sound, you know, or the voice. There was a cry, I should say. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.
Mm.
So as we get closer and closer to midnight, that darkest part of the tunnel, the brightest light in human history is about to dawn.
Mm.
Arise and shine.
Amen.
So it's interesting. If I could just
can I cut in,
Michelle,
yes.
Quickly say something.
Here we go.
It was just the way you said that. I'm like, that's actually really amazing, because that's exactly what it is for me anyway. In a conversion at that point, it was like the darkest moment in my life.
Mm.
But when God's light shone in, boy, is that bright after you've been in the darkest moment. So yeah, I just thought that was really interesting.
No, very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's nothing more clear. There is nothing more powerful than at the darkest time to have the brightest light.
Well, you know, the darker contrast, the night, the brighter the light.
I love it. Oh, did you get that? That rhymed. that was another one to write down, folk.
Don't know where that came from.
I love it. But it's, you know, just finally going back, one final thing, and there's, you know, we could spend the whole show and more on this theme that we've, you know, unpacked in connection with how the gospel will be shared in all the world.
Yes.
But where Jesus quotes from Isaiah chapter 61 in Luke chapter 4, you know, those words there in the synagogue on the Sabbath, the very beginning of that passage that Jesus quoted were the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me."
Mm.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is the key. The key in Jesus' ministry. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
At his baptism he was baptized by the Holy Spirit from his birth, you know,
right.
in his mother's womb.
Yes.
Very clear. Just like John the Baptist, you know, he'd be filled with the Spirit, you know, from the womb. But Jesus, in a very special way, was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do the ministry that God had called him to do for 3.5 years, according to that prophecy in Daniel chapter 9.
I think what you've said is so key. And maybe some of our listeners are wondering, who or what is the Holy Spirit? Like, is the Holy Spirit a force, like an electric thing from God, or is he a person? There's a bit of debate. How would you answer that?
Oh, the Holy Spirit is very clearly a person, the third person of the Godhead. You've got God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, sorry, God the Son, mm-hmm. and then God the Holy Spirit. And there's we could do a Bible study, and maybe we ought to do a Bible study on one of these programs, because there is a lot of confusion on the personality and the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
And I think it's so critical to know the answer, because what you just said, like, the Holy Spirit is so key, especially in preparing us for the coming.
Is the key, yeah, absolutely.
If preparing us for the coming of Jesus, and if we don't know who he is, how can we pray, you know? If we can pray more effectively when we know who he is.
Absolutely, because in Acts chapter 1, and, you know, we won't do that study on the Holy Spirit right now.
Right.
But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples just before he left, but you shall receive power. That word is dunamos.
Yes, like you get the dynamite. Word.
Dynamite. You shall receive dynamite, power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Uh-huh. Okay. And then you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be the witnesses Christ has called us to be, and the gospel will not go to the end of the earth, and that light will not arise, and that darkness will only grow deeper.
Wow.
And there'll be no hope at the end of the tunnel. Wow. So the Holy Spirit is key.
Amen.
It was key in the life of Jesus in his ministry, and it's key at the end time. And that's that light that lights up the entire world, a Holy Spirit-filled people used by Christ to share the character and to live out the character of Christ.
Because the Holy Spirit, he is the ambassador of Christ.
Amen.
So that is how Jesus is able to be present with us, through his ambassador, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah, we certainly will need to do a study on that, because it's a very important subject. So stay tuned for that, folk. We will certainly do that in a future looking up show. So, all right, well, let's talk about what is taking place.
Where do we start?
This is ridiculous. Like, I mean, I'm looking at these headlines, and I've just only selected a few.
And I think we're not the only ones having this problem, because I noticed there was a CNN reporter who was appearing on some night show there in the US, and they were commenting how they used to have weekends. But since Trump's taken office, every day there's something coming from the White House. They've really got to stay on their toes. And I feel the same with current events. Like, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I mean, yeah,
it's coming thick and fast.
There's no respite, not even if you're watching the Super Bowl. Donald Trump was at the Super Bowl. And while he's at the Super Bowl, he's tweeting on his Truth Social what's coming up, you know, what he's doing, who he'll be meeting, what decisions will be made, you know. So there's no rest. There's no respite. And it's been, like, one media outlet described it as shock and awe. That's what the Americans wanted to do when they invaded Iraq. I think it was the second time they invaded Iraq. It might have been the first time. I can't remember. But anyway, one of their strategies was entitled Shock and Awe. You know, and what Donald Trump has basically done, and his administration, in the space of a month, let's not forget, he began his presidency exactly 1 month ago tomorrow. Today is February 19th.
1 month.
1 month ago tomorrow he began. And yet so much has happened. There's been so much upheaval. There's been just so much angst in this last month, more so than we've had in the last 4 years.
Interesting.
And so I don't know if this, what kind of a strategy this is, but it's certainly tipping the order upside down. In fact, let me begin by just reading to you the headline of this ABC news headline, and it was from Saturday the 15th of February. So on Saturday, they're putting this out on the weekend. Donald Trump's Days of Thunder and Why We're in the Age of Information Overload. They're calling it the Days of Thunder.
Wow.
Let me just read to you a little of this. And this all fits in with Bible prophecy, because we were told more than a century ago that the last movements will be rapid ones. You remember that?
Yes.
Do I need to read that statement again? I think I do. So let me get to my PowerPoint here, where I do have that statement. Where are we here? The last movements will be rapid ones. I think that's it there. No, that's not the one. This is the one. All right, listen to this. So this is from one of Ellen White's letters. that was put together as a testimony. You know, one of the, you know, there's 9 volumes of these testimonies. Anyway, this is the last volume, Testimony Volume 9, page 11, easy to remember, 9-11. And the chapter is entitled The Last Crisis. Mm-hmm. So what does the last crisis sound to you like?
The end of the world.
The last crisis. Yeah. If it's a last crisis, it's the last crisis. All right, listen to this. Listen to this. The end of the world. We are living in the time of the end, she writes, which we are. Since 1798, we've been living in the time of the end. The fast fulfilling signs of the times declare that the coming of Christ is near at hand. Mm. This is written more than a century ago. The days in which we live are solemn and important. Mm. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. Okay, so while the Holy Spirit's being poured out, it's also being withdrawn.
Yes.
The two are happening simultaneously. We've talked about this previously. She goes on, plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. Mm. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. This is like 100 years ago. This is prior, just before World War I broke out, okay, which really changed the world. She goes on, the agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. Can you see? This is this final showdown. And the book of Revelation brings that out. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go. They are strengthening for the last great crisis, hence the title of this chapter. Here we go. Listen to this. Mm-hmm. She goes on. This is just prior to World War I. She writes these words. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones.
Wow.
There we go. There we go. Words written more than a century ago telling us that that last sentence is key.
Yeah.
Great changes are soon to take place in our world. Since World War I came to town, we've had an incredible change in this world such as we have not seen for the last 5,900 years of human history.
Look at AI.
Exactly.
Like professors, university professors may be out of a job soon because AI is doing a better job of teaching. Yeah,
doctors
lawyers.
Potentially.
Doctors.
You know, or,
so many jobs.
Or jobs will be curtailed in a way that we cannot even begin to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, talking about jobs and employment, I was in India there and they don't have, you know, they don't have unemployment benefits there if you don't have a job. If you don't have a job, it's simple. You know, you just starve. If you don't have anyone to take care of you. And there, the service is incredible. Like in the restaurants, you get served within 5 to 10 minutes because there's people running around everywhere that are hired, obviously for very minimal wages, but everyone's hired. So if AI comes to India, what's going to happen to that population, you know, that depends on some kind of work to put bread on the table?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so anyway, so that's really, really interesting. So back to these news headlines. He would follow up, he just goes on and it talks about the, you know, Donald Trump and how things have been happening at lightning speed, more so than anyone could imagine. And one of the subtitles here is A New World Order. In his first 4 weeks back in the White House, Trump has upended U.S. policy in the Middle East, threatened a global trade war, and ordered major changes to the federal bureaucracy. And it's not yet clear where some of his most headline-grabbing declarations will lead. And it just goes on and just describes how this upending has just created so much turmoil. Not just in the United States, but around the world.
Mm.
So let's take a look at some of these things that have been taking place. As I pointed out, Donald Trump, you know, met with the Indian Prime Minister. And by the way, he's just inviting him one after the other. The Israeli Prime Minister was there. He was one of the first guests of Donald Trump. And he made it very clear that the United States, well, the Prime Minister of Israel said that Donald Trump has done more and will do more for Israel than any other president in human history. He's saying we're on the same page. And so the United States and its connection and alliance with Israel goes beyond politics. It's very religious, and maybe one day we'll deal
with... We need to talk about that.
We do. We need to talk about, you know, Israel in prophecy and the evangelical view on that. So we'll talk about that. But anyway, have you heard of MEGA?
Not mega.
MIGA, M-I-G-A.
No.
The Indian Prime Minister. Make India great again.
Oh.
I'm serious. Well, this is what he said.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. What were you going to say?
I have a sermon clip that someone shared with me from a Sunday keeping pastor preaching in his Sunday keeping church. And the clip brings out this point where he says, it's time to make Sundays great again.
Wow.
It's time to bring the nation back to God. Let's make Sundays great again. I thought, well, we know where this train is going to go, you know, and I saw that on a friend shared that on social media. But yeah, it's significant.
Absolutely. And speaking of, Sunday preachers and, you know, them weighing in on what's taking place. This was another MAGA with a twist, make America godly again. You know, we've heard that before, but this prominent evangelical pastor and author and evangelist, he's got a video clip that's gone viral, you know, making America godly again. And that fits in with what Donald Trump promised the evangelicals. You bring me into power and I'm going to give you power such as you have never seen before. And we're going to look at that some more.
Well, we've got still so much to share. And we pray now that you enjoy this song by Andy McLeod, Abide With Me. And then after that, we're going to unpack more headlines as they relate to Bible prophecy. Abide with me, Andy McLeod. McLeod, and you're listening to Looking Up. We are going to give away our code word now for all of our listeners. The code word is so that you can be a recipient today of a beautiful book, The Light at the End by Steve Wahlberg. It's a book that unpacks ancient prophecies and how they reveal the future. We have many copies available of this book, so pretty much all of you can be winners today. And the code word that you need to text into our studio number, which I haven't given away in the show today, it is 0488-817-624. That's the code, that's the number, but the code word is
LU25 light, LIGHT.
All right.
All one word.
All one word, no emojis. Text that through, LU25 light. Text that through to 0488-817-624, and you can be a recipient.
How many books are available?
Many.
Oh, wow. There you go. Everyone's a winner. Everyone's a winner. That's a bit like the show. Do you remember going to the show and the guy would say, everyone's a winner? You know, you throw the ball and hit the cans. And literally everyone was a winner. I was so excited as a little kid because hardly anyone knocks over all the cans. But you get this little thing, this little present that was like one of those presents that you get in there. Remember those 20-cent slot machines, Rochelle? There you put 20 cents in and you turn it around and something comes out in this little plastic bubble kind of thing. Do you remember those days?
Yep, I definitely do.
So that's what you would get. So he'd give you this little thing that probably cost 2 cents, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you've spent $5.
Wow.
So everyone's a winner. But anyway, this book is definitely not like one of those things that you get in those 20-cent slot machines or at the show.
Not at all.
This book will be a great blessing. Look at the front cover.
I know. I'm looking at it. It's epic.
What's that up the top? Ancient?
So we've got it says ancient prophecies reveal the future, but then it's got the image from Daniel chapter 2 facing one way, the Statue of Liberty in the center, and then a lamb.
Wow.
On the other side.
So, wow.
And a Bible down beneath and light.
Wow. So that's so we know. And, oh, man alive, that front cover says a lot.
Yep, it's all there.
That and there's light. Have a look, the light's coming out of the scriptures.
Yes.
The light's coming out of the scriptures.
Pointing us to look up.
Wow. So there you go. That's the only thing that's missing there is the Faith FM logo and the Looking Up title.
There you go.
Remember that on the side of the highway, Look Up and Live?
Yeah, yeah.
Look Up and Live, yes, where there's electric wires and, All right. Let's move on from there. So let's continue to take a look at what's been happening. All right. This is a big one. We've talked about how the Bible speaks of a time when they're going to be crying for peace and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This was a headline that came my way, and it's from Presidency, the American Presidency Project. Mm-hmm. And the headline was White House Press Release, President Trump's Plan for Peace in Gaza Draws Praise. At first, everybody was stunned when Donald Trump announced, you know, his bold vision that the United States would seek to secure lasting peace in Gaza by resettling the 2 million or so residents of Gaza into Jordan and Egypt temporarily, rebuilding Gaza because it's a demolition site at the moment. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlivable. It's uninhabited. I don't know how people even live there. It's just, you know, it's beyond, I mean, the images are bad, but if you were there in person, on the ground and seeing with your own eyes, it'd be something beyond what we can even begin to imagine. Anyway, his aim is to make the Gaza Strip into the Riviera on the Middle East, or the Riviera of the Middle East, according to his words. So at first everybody was stunned. The Arab world were like, no way, Jose. But he invited the King of Jordan to come and, you know, to come to the White House, and they had a chat. And so Donald Trump is really throwing his weight around, and he is asserting American dominance such as we haven't seen for a long, long time. And so we'll see where all that heads. They're having discussions, and this wasn't one of those, you know, Donald Trump, you know, things that he just flies off on. This was something premeditated, something he's thought about, something that he's doubling down on, something that he's not shying away from. At first, everyone thought it was just a crazy, you know, Donald Trump thought, you know, what do they call them? thought bubble. But no, it's more than that. So anyway, we'll see where all that goes. In the meantime, and the reason why I'm talking about this is we're going to go to some scripture in just a little bit. But European leaders, according to, there's a whole bunch of headlines, meet for crisis meeting over Ukraine. Uh-huh. European leaders hold emergency talks amid fears Trump has abandoned longtime allies. Barred from US-Russia talks on Ukraine, Europe scrambles for response with Paris summit. And so Donald Trump has just had a meeting. Well, some of his staff have had a meeting with some of the top officials in Russia. They've left Ukraine and the Europeans out of this first meeting to discuss peace negotiations there in Ukraine, you know, to solve this war between Russia and Ukraine. And so things are just happening at lightning speed. So we've got Gaza a few days before, which was huge. Yeah. That would be enough to, you know,
keep us busy for a while.
For at least 3 months. that'll remain in the headlines for at least a month. Yeah. But no, 2-3 days later, this is taking place. Mm. And so the world is up in arms and it's all about creating peace. And they're saying over and over again, be they from the Middle East, be they in Europe, be they wherever, they're saying that Donald Trump is the only one that is capable of creating peace. Hmm. The only one. So this goes into Revelation 13. And not to mention J.D. Vance and, you know, the way he got stuck into the European leaders at the Munich Council.
I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm listened to his speech. Reading people's reactions.
I listened to his speech while I was there at the airport.
What do you think?
Oh, he just hammered them really big time. Oh, yeah, he was just showing that the Europeans, in a nutshell, have moved away from their values, their centuries of values that they had built up in this, you know, their Christian values, and now Europe is in a mess. Mm-hmm. It's in a crisis because they've abandoned their values.
Wow.
And so he literally, like, just got a stick out, preached to them. He literally just preached them, told them off big time. Wow. And I'll share a little from that.
No wonder it's generating so much reaction.
Oh, absolutely. They were stunned. Yeah. They were absolutely stunned. Where are we here? He was one here. Not that one. Here we go. No, not that one. Where are we here? Anyway, we'll move. I'll find it. But yeah, they were really, really, really stunned by what he had to say. So anyway, Revelation 13. Let's go to Revelation 13, because as the United States was, you know, sort of going a little bit backwards, there were a lot of people, remember talking about China. Mm-hmm. China may be the next world superpower that will, you know, take over from the United States of America. You know, that's been talked about for quite a while now, because the Chinese economy has been growing. It's about the 2/3 of the size of the U.S. economy. Their military has been growing. Their influence has been growing, their world footprint, and so on and so forth. And so a lot of people have been asking the question, maybe China will be
the
next world superpower. But have a look at what the Bible says. Yes. All right, Revelation 13, read verses 11 and 12.
Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
Okay, so who is this lamb-like beast that comes up out of the earth?
The United States.
That's the United States of America. All right, and what's
possibly a bison? The lamb, like,
could be.
It looks like it's a relative of the same family.
Absolutely.
Animal family.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, we don't exactly know what John saw, but he saw this beast. And the focus is obviously on those two horns, the two horns that are lamb-like.
Yes.
And horns in the Bible represent power.
Power.
And the two power principles, excuse me, that the United States was founded on was on what?
Religious and civil liberty.
Absolutely, yeah. That's in the First Amendment of the Constitution. So religious and civil liberty. However, the United States will abandon the First Amendment, religious and civil liberty, because in verse 12 it tells us that he will exercise all of his power in order to cause the entire earth to worship according to the dictates of the first beast. So this power, the United States of America, arises to give power and strength and authority to the first beast, which is the Roman papacy in Revelation 13, verses 1 to 10. That's the power that's spoken of here. And so in order to cause the whole world to do something, guess what? You have to have the most power.
Mm.
And the United States at the moment is doing just that. Isn't that right?
Yes.
In Europe? In the Middle East?
No other government in the world affects the rest of the world like this one right now.
Absolutely. And it's happening thick and fast. So, whilst...
It's leading the world culturally, socially, militarily.
Absolutely.
Scientifically.
Economically.
Economically.
In every way. So we'll see how that all unfolds in the coming days. I mean, just think about what Donald Trump has said in this first month. He wants to acquire Greenland. Of Denmark. You know, he just wants to take it over for security purposes or whatever. He wants Canada to become the 51st state. And he's not just saying this. He actually really means it.
Yeah.
He literally means it.
Renames the map.
The Gulf of Mexico becomes the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
He wants to take over the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just, this is incredible.
Yeah.
This is like doing Monopoly. Playing Monopoly,
yeah.
Just acquiring properties, acquiring countries. He wants to take over Gaza.
Yeah.
I mean, what president has ever said anything that comes close to this?
Yeah.
No one. And this is only in the first month. Mm-hmm. Who knows, by the end of the year, maybe he'll want to take over every country. Maybe Australia will be next That's on right. the list.
That's right.
Anyway.
Osmerica.
Yeah, so... Anyway, so this is interesting because this tells us that the United States will be that final superpower.
Yeah.
So now when it comes to peace and safety, they're saying that Donald Trump is the only one who has the ability to create peace and safety.
Mm.
Now that fits in with
it's
what
a lot of faith in one person.
It is. And this all fits in with what the Bible says will be the end time scenario and the end time cry. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we know that this is the end of time. So if you want to read verses 1-3.
But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape.
Peace and safety. Is that what they're crying out for?
That's what the world wants.
It's what
the world lacks.
is America positioning itself as the world's peacemaker at the moment?
Yes. And even the world's safety. We'll keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Pope is trying to bring peace too.
Exactly.
And safety, I guess, too.
Absolutely.
By being a regulator in AI and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So we've got these two powers. We've got these two powers. The Roman papacy. We've talked about that at length, bringing religions together, the whole climate thing, Laudato Si, Fratelli Tutti, all these encyclicals. We've got the Roman papacy seeking to be... a religious peacemaker, bringing world peace to religions and so forth and many other areas. And then we've got the United States seeing to be, the world political peacemaker.
Mm.
So it's interesting that these two powers appear in Revelation 13.
Yes.
Working side by side. That's no coincidence.
Yes.
There's no other religious organization on the planet that has positioned itself as the world's religious peacemaker other than the papacy. And there's no other political power that's positioned itself as the one that will do the front running in creating political peace and safety. There isn't.
It's true.
And we've been saying this for decades.
I think I've said this as well on a previous show, but like a lot of evangelicals haven't identified the earth beast of Revelation 13 in verse 11 as the United States. I've been interested to see how other people view this. And yeah, they're all very different interpretations, but this one that we've been sharing, where that's the United States is that lamb-like beast mentioned in Bible prophecy. As soon as you put that identity on this reading of the prophecy, wow, it just makes so much sense, and everything about that makes sense, and it's airtight.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. We've been saying this for decades and decades. For over 150 years, we have been sharing this. And now it's all coming to pass like thick and fast, literally thick and fast. I've got an incredible statement that I'm going to read to you, not right now because we're almost out of time, but I'm going to read it to you after this break that I've shared in the past that goes along with this peace and safety, and there's more in this when it comes to scripture as well.
All right, everyone, don't go anywhere. We're going to listen to Keith and Kristen Getty now, the perfect wisdom of our God. Truly, he does have perfect wisdom, and that's the wisdom we need. Be blessed.
Wisdom of our God revealed in all the universe, all things created by his hand and held together at his command. He knows the mysteries of the seas, the secrets of the stars are his. He guides the planets on their way and turns the earth through another day. The matchless wisdom of his ways that mark the path of righteousness. His word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. And all the mystery of the cross, that God should suffer for the lost, so that the fool might shame the wise, and all the glory might go to Christ. Of your sovereignty. Each strand of sorrow has a place within this tapestry of grace. So through the trials I choose to say your perfect will in your perfect way. Each strand of perfect way.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Keith and Kristen Gentry there bringing to us the perfect wisdom of our God. And you're listening to the Looking Up program. A reminder that we have a giveaway for anyone who's listening today. It's the book called The Light at the End by Steve Wahlberg. Ancient prophecies reveal the future, answering questions like, can the Bible be trusted? An ancient king's dream, the rise of the beast, America and Bible prophecy. We're talking about that on the show live today. Fire from the sky, decoding the mark of the beast and light at the end of the tunnel. These are all the chapters in the book.
Fire from the sky.
Oh.
That same word fire in Revelation 13 is the same word for fire on the day of Pentecost. The exact same word.
Right.
I only found that out the other day.
That's very interesting.
It's very powerful.
You can unpack that a bit later.
Wow.
But this is a book you will want. And if you haven't already secured your copy, text in LU25LIGHT, LIGHT. Text that all through to 0488 17624. That's our studio number. And of course, any other comments, prayer requests or questions. And we have a listener who has texted us.
Oh, wow.
Liz, she's listening while she's traveling to Victoria on the Hume Highway. God bless you, Liz. Drive safely. And we're so glad that you're with us.
Fantastic. Thank you, Liz. All the best. Hey, it's incredible. Incredible how all the pieces of the Bible are coming together. And if I could just give a quick plug to The Perfect Storm. Perfect Storm.
I listened to it the other day.
Yeah, did you?
Because of your plug.
The Perfect Storm. It's another great program dealing with current events and Bible prophecy and encouraging people to look up and prepare for the soon return of Jesus. It's on the Faith FM network. The Perfect Storm. You can listen to it. I think it's on a Friday. It airs on a Friday, but obviously they can listen to it
any day,
just go to the website or download the app and there you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Justin, Kyle and Phil, and they share some wonderful insights. I'm not sure if there are any other shows. Obviously there's ours and The Perfect Storm.
Well, there's lots of other shows.
As in other shows that are,
Two shows on this station?
No, we're not. Just as well, there are other shows. It'd be too much.
You mean that talk about this kind of
Yeah,
they
talk about current events and Bible prophecy. Mm. So there may be, if there is, please let us know and we'll promote them and give them a plug as well. But yeah, that's a really, really good program. There's just so much going on, so many different angles. Like, they deal with things from one angle, you and I, we deal with things from another angle, dealing with the same events that are taking place, the same Bible prophecy, but looking at it from different angles, because there's so many different ways to see these prophecies.
Can you imagine if we had a combined show one day?
Oh, wow, that would go for 3 days.
Yeah.
Like an Indian wedding.
I probably wouldn't get a word in.
No, you probably wouldn't. No, not with Justin, myself. And,
I'd just be enjoying listening.
Anyway, when it comes to this idea of peace that we are seeing ramping up more and more, notice this statement, once again from the same author that we quote from often from that book, The Great Controversy. But this is not from The Great Controversy. This is one of her other writings. It's found in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 268. Notice these words. She writes, I was shown, so this is God showing the author, Ellen White, who was given the gift of prophecy by God, lived in the 19th and early 20th century. I was shown the inhabitants of the earth in the utmost confusion. War, bloodshed, privation, want, famine, and pestilence were abroad in the land. My attention was then called from this scene. There seemed to be a little time of peace. So a time of peace. Once more, the inhabitants of the earth were presented before me. And again, everything was in utmost confusion. Strife, war, bloodshed, with famine and pestilence raged everywhere. Other nations were engaged in this war and confusion. War caused famine, want and bloodshed caused pestilence. And then men's hearts failed them from fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. That's straight out of Luke 21 that she's quoting, that last section there. So she's saying there's going to be war and conflict, which we are living in right now, pestilence and disease and famine and a whole bunch of things. But then there was shown a small time of peace. What are we crying out for now?
Peace and safety.
But then sudden destruction comes, exactly what she was shown. Sudden destruction comes upon them like labor pains. So you know that you're going to have the baby. You don't know exactly when.
Mm.
And we know with those labor pains, they increase in intensity and frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also know that there's that gap,
mm-hmm.
That gap between the labor pains. And so here we have a description of what we are seeing right now. Mm-hmm. Could this time of peace be
precipitating a time of trouble?
Very interesting, because it says in Daniel chapter 8, 25, speaking of the Roman papacy there in Daniel 8, 25, if you want to read that, if you get there, Daniel 8, 25, you want to read that. This is really powerful as well.
Through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means.
Okay, that's interesting. You've read that from
without
the King James.
Without human means.
This is Daniel 2, when the rock strikes that image.
Without human hands.
So this is at the end of time. Now, the King James more accurately translates that word. The word for peace. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. That word there is peace. Instead of prosperity, it's the word peace. You could probably exchange the two, peace and prosperity.
So it should read, he shall cause deceit to prosper. He shall just,
and he shall magnify himself. I'll read the King James. It says, and through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, or lift himself up, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, who is Jesus, but he shall be broken without hand. And by peace shall destroy many. I looked up that word peace, and in Strong's Concordance it means security. Either genuine or false, depending on the context. This is that false security that the world will be given that will bring the whole world together. This is where that day of worship will be set aside as a day for peace and prosperity in order to bring the world all back on track. We are seeing that. So religion, spiritualism, miracles, signs and wonders is going to be at the forefront of the end time showdown. And this is not just by, not just by chance that Daniel 8:25 speaks of this. And there's a lot more. The policy and the craft, we'll leave that for now. But in Daniel 11, in that epic chapter, it also describes the end time scenario being characterized by peace. If you want to read verse 21.
Daniel 11, 21, and in his place shall arise a vile person. Am I reading the right one?
Yep, you are.
To whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue.
He's speaking of the Roman papacy. Peaceably. It's the same word as in Daniel 8. And that same word is used again in verse 24. It says, he shall enter peaceably even into the richest places of the province. We don't have time to unpack all that, but I just want to just make it clear that peace will be the end game. People will be crying for peace and safety. That's like what happened during COVID. You remember? What did people want? They wanted the world to go back to what?
Peace.
Normal.
Yeah.
Normal. We want peace. We want safety. We want security. What's Donald Trump promising the people of Gaza and the Middle East?
Peace and safety.
Peace and safety. Peace and safety. So things are all coming together. And it's just incredible to watch all this take place. Now, when it comes to the final showdown, we know that spiritualism, signs, miracles, and wonders will be at the forefront. Because let's go back to Revelation 13. We're going to get to Elon Musk in just a minute and some other things. But Revelation 13, it tells us how this end time scenario will unfold. Verse 13.
Yes, and he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men.
Okay, remember I told you this same word for fire is connected. It's the same word that we have in Acts chapter 2 when those tongues of fire, which was a symbol of the Holy Spirit, fell upon the believers, those 120 believers. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out, and they were witnesses for Christ. 3,000 were converted in a day. This is that false fire. This is the counterfeit fire at the end of time. This is the counterfeit Holy Spirit being poured out. This is the counterfeit. And it's going to be based on not on God's word, but it's going to be based on signs, miracles, and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jesus perform signs, miracles, and wonders in his ministry?
He did.
Yes. Did the early church? Yes. But it was all in harmony with
Scripture.
Scripture.
Yeah.
This will not be in harmony with Scripture.
Mm.
And that'll be the big difference between
the two. It will appeal to our emotions.
Absolutely.
Affect our feelings.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly the kind of thing that the devil wants us to lean on. But if we will lean on God's word that's sure and true and doesn't change, not like our feelings, then we're safe.
And this will bring the whole world together. Not only the United States, but the whole world together. Because people have a philosophy and a way of life where seeing is believing.
Mm.
They follow their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Bible says, the heart is desperately wicked.
Something.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just something really interesting because in my experience, as I've got different friends of different faith, that was one of the things that God brought to light for me for when I had been visiting other churches was to be be aware that if I was, you know, just living on a feelings journey. And I was just thinking of even trying to watch Christian programs and for my children, one of the things that some of them tend to do is still have that feelings based for the storyline. I'm just thinking as you guys say that, wow, we have to be really in tune and wary of what we're letting go into our children. And yeah, just thank you for that because it just really like stuck out for me about the feelings based.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about this at length, our Hollywood's biggest hits, you know, those big follow your heart and those big mega movies, they are based on spiritualism.
Yes.
They've got these spiritualistic themes, the signs, the miracles, the wonders, you know, all the supernatural. The supernatural is the glue that is holding Hollywood movies together right now. That's the glue. And that's going to be the glue that holds the world together. And in fact, I've got to go to this statement. Where are we here? Back to my favorite book on Bible prophecy outside the Bible, The Great Controversy. Listen to this and how this is all going to happen. Okay, here we go.
Can I add to that really quickly?
Yes.
Because if you think of love, love isn't just this happy peace feeling. Like you said, they're crying for peace and safety. Love also warns.
Mm.
And I think that's the part that sometimes is missing for people. They want the good, but they don't want to sit there and realize that sometimes you actually have to accept challenges and difficulties because love warns you of something bad coming.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
It's a loving thing to do.
Yeah, it's a warn.
Now, it's interesting that this spiritualism, this signs, miracles, and wonders, and in fact, if you want to just read verse 14 before I read this statement.
Sure, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived.
Okay, this image of the beast is the union of church and state, which we're going to get to in a little bit,
right.
Okay? But have a look at what sets up the image of the beast. It's the signs, the miracles, the wonders, the false prophet. And by the way, the United States is referred to as the false prophet.
That's right.
In Revelation 16.
Because a prophet claims to speak on behalf of
exactly.
God.
Exactly.
This power will claim to speak on behalf of God, but it's not speaking on behalf of
and
God.
And we won't go to it in Deuteronomy now. We'll do it maybe another time. But there God says, if a prophet arises among you and says, this will happen and that will happen and it all comes to pass, but seeks to take you away from the commandments of God, from the law of
That's
God,
right.
They are a false prophet.
Yes.
They are a false prophet. So this is all happening right now as we speak. Now listen to this. Listen to this, my sister.
I'm listening.
This is GC, Great Controversy. Everyone needs to read this book. You need to read this book. Through the two great errors, here we go. Mm-hmm. The immortality of the soul, which is based on spiritualism, you know.
Yes, that was the
signs
first
and the wonders,
lie.
Absolutely. And Sunday sacredness, which is where things are going. That's the rest of Revelation 13. Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. What did we just read?
Signs and wonders.
They'll deceive them. Here we go. While the former lays the foundation of spiritualism, okay, that's the immortality of the soul. The latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome, which is what we read here in Revelation 13. This is this image of the beast that will form the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp hands with spiritualism. They will reach across the abyss to grasp hands with the Roman power, and under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience.
Wow.
And we are almost there, because I'm going to be sharing some headlines that are telling us that the wheels are moving quickly.
Oh, well.
Whew.
Don't go anywhere. We need God every hour. That's what Sam's going to remind us of right now. Sam Robson, I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be suffered. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
Looking unto Jesus.
And we are still looking up.
Amen.
And sadly, this program's going to be coming to an end.
I know. That's what happens when we miss out 2 weeks.
That's right. Time just flies.
And especially under this new order of things,
yes.
It's just ridiculous.
Everything goes fast.
We almost need to have a program every day to keep up. But anyway, I think once a week's enough.
Probably for our listeners too.
I think so.
Reminder of the code word LU25LIGHT. Text that through anytime to 0488 176 24, and the book The Light at the End by Steve Wahlberg is yours.
Wow, powerful stuff. All right, we've only got a few minutes left as we wrap up. So I really want to just help our listeners pull these pieces together just to understand. So we've looked at Revelation 13. We know that spiritualism is going to be at the heart of that end-time conflict, that end-time showdown, miracles, signs, and wonders. It even goes on in verse 15, you know, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. So this breath, to give life to this church-state union that ruled, you know, Western Europe for over 1,000 years, where the church and the state were in bed together and persecution followed. So the life, it's interesting, to give breath. What happened to this church-state union at the end of the 1260-year period? It received a
deadly wound.
A deadly wound. So this is the revival.
It's like a resurrection.
This is a resurrection. And we have that in Revelation 13, verse 3. Mm-hmm. You want to read Revelation 13, verse 3?
Maybe you should. I'm just kidding.
Okay. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, speaking of the Roman papacy, and his deadly wound was healed. That is the same as giving breath. That is the same as giving breath to the image of the beast.
Wow.
Because church, that union
is
going to be at the end of time, right around the world. Mm-hmm. You know, religion and politics, which will be generated by satanic spiritualism, these signs and these wonders, and the immortality of the soul, which is the foundation of all major world religions, will be the driving force.
Amazing. See, like, this is the devil's end time
battle
plan, and God has exposed it here in his word and given his own battle plan of sharing truth that will combat the lies and deception. Amazing.
It is amazing when you just see it all. And then it says, you know, and his deadly wound was healed. That's the life given to the image of the beast. And all the world marveled and followed after the beast, right? All the world. And then in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, we won't read the whole passage there, but it says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that you will not be able to buy or sell unless you do. That's the whole world wondering after the dictates of this power, which will ultimately be the false day of worship that will be established. Church and state will be in bed together. And guess what we have happening in the United States right now, unlike any other time in human history?
What?
Church and state
are
getting very, very cuddly and snuggly in bed together.
I was just going to say before, you know, there's a lot more excitement in the church about getting behind the government now.
Oh, huge!
Particularly with comments from President Trump.
Even here in Australia.
Really?
Even in Australia. Pauline Hanson, the Australian Christian Lobby, many others are seeing what's going on in the United States, and they're seeing that the doors of light are opening for the whole world, including Australia, which will follow.
And we can see why people of faith would be excited to want to see morality restored to a society.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the problem with it comes when it's legislated, because you can't legislate You can't force worship.
You cannot force worship. Absolutely, you cannot force worship. In fact, from that same book, The Great Controversy, these are the words that are there in that chapter, The Impending Conflict. God never forces the will or the conscience, but Satan's constant resort is to gain control of those whom he cannot otherwise seduce. It is through compulsion and cruelty. We sadly saw that during the pandemic a few years ago. Through fear or force, he, that is Satan, endeavors to rule the conscience and to secure homage to himself. To accomplish this, he works through both religious and secular authorities, church and state united, moving them to the enforcement of human laws in defiance of the law of God. We have the setup of that right now. Let me share with you a few headlines. And before that, you remember when Donald Trump promoted the Bible, the USA Bible?
Yes.
The God Bible, you know, the American Bible, the Trump Bible?
Yes.
He's got his fingerprints literally all over it. He's signed it all off. Let me share with you a little of what he said, okay? This is what he said. This is straight from him. This is before the election. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country, and I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. Mm. Has he been good on his promise so far in less than a month? Absolutely. He goes on. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost our religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. That's interesting. It's a lot of people's favorite book. The Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back to America and to make America great again is our religion. Mm. Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. In the end, listen to these words. These are from Donald Trump. In the end, we do not answer to bureaucrats and Washington. We answer to the God of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
This is phenomenal. This is phenomenal. And then he goes and he says, you know, I'm proud to endorse and encourage you to get this Bible. We must make America pray again.
Mm.
Pray and get educated. Get motivated and stand by me in the allegiance of America, asking God to bless our great nation, to bring our great nation back and to make America great again.
Wow. We're right there.
We are right there. Okay, so let's talk about that. You sent me an article, you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay, maybe you don't.
Remind me what it was.
You sent me this article from The Independent. And the headline was, Trump says he's ordering Attorney General to target anti-Christian bias with Religious Liberty Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
So he put out another executive order where he decided that it was time to bring about a change to the Faith Office, which he renamed to the Faith Office that would directly communicate with him. And here's another headline from Reuters. Trump to create religious office in White House, target anti-Christian bias. Okay, so he's saying there's been so much anti-Christian bias under the previous administration. He has a task force now that will target those who attack Christianity and Christians.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting. All right, so he has tasked Paula White to be the one heading up the White House Faith Office.
She's a pastor.
She's a pastor and evangelist, televangelist, and she's his main spiritual advisor. And she claims, or someone claims, that she was part of leading him, or she was instrumental in leading him to Christ.
Hmm.
Now, he's also, like I said, Donald Trump has asked the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, to head this task force. The Attorney General is being involved.
Hmm.
This is like the law. The Attorney General is responsible for the law being administered appropriately.
Wow.
And so this is really interesting. Now, Freedom From Religion Foundation, right? Did you get this? Freedom From Religion Foundation. They are for separation of church and state, which is in the First Amendment of the Constitution. And this was their headline. Trump's Faith Office Anti-Christian Bias Task Force will privilege religion. So there will be a religion that will be privileged above all others. And guess what religion that is? Christianity. Mm. What do we have here in Revelation 13? We have Christianity in America being the lead religion that the entire United States will rally around through signs and miracles, but it's going to spread throughout the world. And the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the New Ages, the atheists, the you name them, through spiritualism are going to get behind it, because the breath, life will be given through spiritualism, through signs, miracles, and wonders. All right. So they it was interesting what they had to say in this article. And I just want to read to you just briefly here this. And then we're going to get the Project 2025, which is in this latest Time magazine.
Yes, you've been excited about that.
I have, yes, because we've got Elon Musk on this Time magazine front cover sitting at the Oval Office desk.
Behind the White House.
Exactly. So they say, is he the president or Donald Trump? Look, they're just goading Donald Trump. They're stirring him. they actually asked him in a question was asked, have you seen the latest Time magazine?
Really?
And he kind of said, well, is Time magazine still in business?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was his response. Anyway, they're just trying to stir him because they want to create this division between Donald Trump and Elon Musk. You know, right. this bromance, they want to separate it. Anyway, this is what these guys, back to Freedom From Religion Foundation, this is what they had to say. The goal is not to aid faith-based groups in obtaining government grants, but also to influence policies in a broad range of social areas. This is a clear signal that the White House appears to favor funding faith-based programs related to adoption and foster care, and that faith-based groups that discriminate such as against LGBT clients will be able to receive government grants. He goes on. They go on. Trump's subsequent eradicating anti-Christian bias executive order establishes a one-year task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias, which Trump announced will be led by Attorney General Pam Bondi herself, a Christian nationalist, mm-hmm. to investigate the targeting of Christians. So Pam Bondi is a Christian nationalist.
Mm. Probably part of Project 2025.
Absolutely. Now, talking about Project 2025, check out what's in here. Where are we here? I was reading it. Let me find it. What to do with it? Where to put? Where I put that?
Would it be with the?
Here we go. Here we go. All right. Project 2025. Listen to this. This was the lead article.
Mm-hmm.
The lead article. What was it entitled? 1,000 cuts. all right. Project 2025. Listen to this. I'm just going to read a bit here. It says, none of this came without warning, speaking of all these cuts in a Doge. It's focused on Doge and what Doge has done and, you know, USAID and all these different things, Department of Education, there's a whole bunch of things that are going to be coming down the line. Anyway, none of this came without warning. Among Musk's friends in Silicon Valley, many understood his takeover of Twitter as preparation for a greater cause. The mood is that hopefully Musk can do the same thing with the U.S. government, one told Time in November. Veterans of Trump's first administration likewise laid out their plans long before the elections, publishing a 900-page report known as Project 2025. One of its lead authors, Russell Vought, said in a speech 2 years ago, okay, that's the guy that's in charge of the purse right now. 2 years ago, this is what Russell Vought said in a speech. He wanted civil servants to be traumatically affected by the purge he envisioned.
Wow.
We want their funding to be shut, he said. We want to put them in trauma. He said that 2 years ago.
Mm.
And that's exactly what's happening. Listen to this. On the campaign trail, Trump swore he had nothing to do with the plan. It was inappropriate that they would come out with a document like that, he told Time in November. Some things I vehemently disagree with, he also said. But once in office, listen to this, he, that is Donald Trump, picked Vought to be in charge of the White House Office of Management and Budget, which now works closely with Musk to enact crucial parts of Project 2025. Now, listen to this last sentence. Blew me away. So far, okay, the frenetic opening moves of the Trump presidency, this is Time magazine,
yes,
have tracked nearly two-thirds of its prescriptions according to a Time analysis. So they're saying,
he's following the script.
He's following the Project 2025 script. Time magazine have analyzed what's been happening in the last month, what was stated in those 900 pages, and they're saying two-thirds of that document are already being put into place or are in the pipeline.
Wow. And we should, you know, say that that Project 2025 is not, it's not like what's going to literally happen, but it's the wish list of Christian nationalists, of what we wish for as a country.
Absolutely. So we're seeing all this taking place. It's amazing. And then, you know, and then when you've got J.D. Vance, you know, turning on the European allies with a blistering speech, according to the CNN headline.
It's America asserting its dominance absolutely. In the world once more.
And, you know, J.D. Vance is saying the only way back is we need to get back to those values and talking about Christian values because he is a Christian convert, a convert to Catholicism.
Wow.
So all these pieces are lining up.
I got to listen to the speech then.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, well, there is so much going on. And you know what? In light of all of that, the most important thing must be sharing the gospel news.
Amen.
Sharing the hope that we have a Savior. Seeking the Lost, the Brenton Rochester family.
seeking the lost, yes, kindly entreating, wanderers on the mountain astray, coming to me his message repeating, words of the Master speaking today.
Going afar,
going far,
upon the mountain,
upon the mountain,
bringing the wanderer back again,
back again,
into the fold,
into the fold
of my Redeemer,
of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb,
Jesus the Lamb,
for sinners slain,
for sinners slain. And pointing to Jesus, souls that are weak and hearts that are sore, leading them forth in ways of salvation, showing the path to life evermore.
Going afar,
going far,
upon the mountain,
upon the mountain,
bringing the wanderer,
bringing the wanderer
back again,
back again,
into the fold,
into the fold
of my Redeemer,
of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb,
Jesus the Lamb,
for sinners slain,
for sinners slain. Thus would go on missions of mercy, following Christ from day to day, cheering the faint and raising the fallen, pointing the lost to Jesus the way.
Going
afar,
upon
the mountain,
bringing the wanderer,
bringing the wanderer
back again,
back again,
into the fold,
into the fold
of my Redeemer,
of my Redeemer,
Jesus the Lamb,
Jesus the Lamb,
for sinners slain,
for sinners slain,
Jesus the Lamb,
Jesus the Lamb,
for sinners slain,
for sinners slain.
Beautiful. The Brent Rochester family bring to us that fun hymn, Seeking the Lost, but that's exactly what we need to be about. And that brings us to the end of our broadcast today, but we have some time for some final comments, and we want to acknowledge our listeners. Jane has been listening to us, and she sent us a message. She said, doing a great job, Sharissa and Danny, and producer. Thank you, Jane. It's good to hear from you, and so glad that all of you have been able to join us. Pastor Danny, what would you like to summarize? Or how would you summarize our program today with some final thoughts for our listeners?
All right. Well, during that beautiful song, I was putting my Faith FM thinking hat on. Oh, and by the way, I've got my Faith FM thinking hat.
He's been thinking all afternoon.
And I've got my Faith FM shirt on as well.
He's very branded.
So I'm in uniform. If you could only see, just as well you can't see, just as well you can't see. All right, in light of everything that is taking place and just events are happening very, very quickly. And we were told, we were told that the last movements will be rapid ones. Those last, those labor pains at the end, we know, are rapid. I mean, you've been there.
Yep.
You're a mother, so you know that from personal experience. Rochelle, you've been there as well. I've been there, but as an observer. Praise the Lord for being an observer. But anyway, and it all happens thick and fast at the end.
You even passed out.
Yeah, I know, literally. I mean, you know the story.
Yeah.
I've shared with our listeners.
Sorry,
that
I threw you.
Now I have to share. Now I have to briefly share.
Be quick.
So it was so hectic, and I'm just bad with blood and everything, and I was just so invested in trying to be a support for my wife. But I was starting to pass out, and the doctor literally looked at me and says, Danny, you've got one or two options. You can either lie down now or you will fall down. Did not even offer me a bed, didn't offer me anything else. He was only concerned about my wife. That's all he was concerned about.
Praise the Lord.
Anyway, all right. But, yeah, it all happened thick and fast. Mm-hmm. It happened thick and fast.
There's no going
just
back.
Before the baby. Then there's no going back. Just before the baby was born, it was all happening thick and fast, like what we're seeing right now. Now I just want to share some final thoughts here, and this is right at the end of time. And, you know, you've got two groups at the end of time. You've got those that will be looking up and crying out for Jesus and saying, behold, this is our God. We have put our faith and trust in him and he has come to save us, you know, Isaiah 25 and verse 9. And then you've got another group, sadly. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. This is Jesus coming. Mm-hmm. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Speaking of the second coming. And who is able to stand? They ask the question, who is able to stand? And who is able to stand? Well, in the very next verses, we have here who is able to stand.
Yes.
John says, then I saw another angel ascending from the east. That's where Jesus comes from, the east. Mm-hmm. Having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Who is able to stand through that last great crisis just prior to the coming of Jesus, when those winds of strife are released on the world? There will be only one group that will be able to stand, and that is those who are sealed with the seal of God. Those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, according to Revelation 14, yes, verses 1 to 5, that describes that same group who have the Father's name, his character written in their foreheads. And so finally, I just want to encourage our listeners. We want to be sealed. Mm-hmm. We want to have God's name in our foreheads. We want to have Jesus in our hearts. That is what's going to hold us today and every day until Jesus returns.
Amen. Thank you so much. I think we should close with a prayer. Amen. On those very thoughts. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Thank you that we can be sealed safe in you and your truth by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for our listeners. We pray that you would bless them as they study your Word and prepare each one of us each day as we spend that time with Jesus for the soon return of Christ. We long for that day, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to be back with you here today, and we look forward to a second installment next week, God willing. There'll be many more installments after that, but I'm sure between now and then, lots will have happened in the world, and we'll have lots more to discuss and unpack. Any ideas where we might go for our Bible study topic next week?
I think we'll probably continue to unpack this pendulum swing, King of the North, King of the South, and look at that a little more.
All right. Sounds good. So until then, remember that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up, and keep looking up. May God bless you all.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
There is a place of quiet rest to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Oh, us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near
to the heart of God, a place where we, our Savior, meet. Near to the heart of God, oh Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Oh, God, who